Okay. Thank you. And sorry, Steve, you won't need to repeat that, I'm sure, but thank you.
Very good. Yeah, so there are those three sections, me explaining something about the resources, a chance for questions, and then a chance for sharing amongst ourselves. That might get a little bit awkward if there's just Joe with questions. So Joe wants you the freedom to be yourself, to say as much or as little as you want. But if you want personalized coaching, now is your opportunity to get it.
Yes.
So yeah, so welcome. We ran this session this time. We ran another session last week. Yeah, so it's great to have you along.
Did you
And
have more people last time?
yeah, we had four people last time.
Oh, good, good,
Yeah.
good.
So welcome. Welcome whether you're one, welcome whether you're four. Welcome to people who will listen to this potentially to the recording. Briefly to introduce myself, my name is Steve Taylor. I'm currently director of Angel Wings, which prepares research and educational resources. I previously, before that, I was the principal of the Knox Centre for Ministry and Leadership, training Presbyterian ministers. And then before that, I worked for the Uniting Church in South Australia. And then before that, I was a Baptist pastor and a church planter. In terms of my mountain and my river, my maunga and my awa, I was born by the Arimia River in Papua New Guinea. And so when Tim, who's the director of Christian World Service, first contacted me about offering Advent resources and some sermon engagement around this environmental theme, it took me back to my happy place, the Arimia River, and what it meant to be a river people, and to think about a climate in relation to scripture. The second happy place that it took me to was that I've just returned in June and July from 2 months working in Edinburgh on grassroots digital activism amongst Pacific peoples. And so it was a wonderful opportunity to take some of that sort of more intellectual work that I was doing and think about how it might relate to ordinary congregations. I'm also the interim moderator of my local Presbyterian church. There were 17 folk there on Sunday. We often have no musicians, and whether children come or not is always a bit hit and miss. And so for me, I was trying to think through what it meant to think about the resources and to engage in that type of local church environment. The resources come in four dimensions, and what I want to do is briefly explain each of those four dimensions and then to unpack them a little bit more. So the first dimension is Advent. What did it mean to think about these themes in relation to the preparation for Christmas, the beginning of the church year? And so to use the scripture readings that are provided in the revised Common lectionary for the church. The second was to do that liturgically, and so to think through not just sermons and not just gospel readings, but to think about songs and intergenerational activities, and to think about that in terms of my own local church context and what it might mean to resource those in relation to Advent. The third dimension of the resources is around connection with Oceania, connection with the Pacific Ocean. The Christian World Service has partners in many countries, but particularly in Oceania and across the Pacific. And so there was the invitation to think about how these resources might work and might work in partnership with those existing connections, which is where the wonderful photo of Mrs. Murphy came from, and just her wonderful smile. You know, she is one of the Pacific partners. And so it's been wonderful to work with her and work with her story and think about those connections. And the fourth dimension that the resources are trying to work in is themes around the environment, themes around climate hope. The United Nations is one of its strategic goals, priorities, has called for urgent, ambitious, and collective work to prioritise climate action. And so, therefore, we as Christians, in the season of Advent, with themes of hope and anticipation, have some unique ways we can start to think about what it might mean to be involved in climate hope. So those are the sort of four dimensions that the resources are working within. And so I'm going to briefly step through them a little bit more and then allow time for questions. With the underlying rule, there's no such thing as a silly question. All questions are really important and really valuable. So in terms of the first dimension, the Advent, a key resource for me was a book by Winston Hulapua, Waves of God's Embrace, which is a really accessible introduction to Moana theologies and what it means to locate Advent, therefore, in relation to Oceania. And one of the prayer options for Advent 2, for the Sunday coming, is actually to listen to an audio clip of Winston Hulapua praying one of his prayers for Moana. And so the chance for us to actually hear the voice of a Pacific person and a very fine Christian leader, Anglican Archbishop, actually have him pray the Advent prayer for others. So that's one dimension that was there. Advent also often has candle lighting. And so part of the resources include a modified candle lighting ceremony, which involves making the Advent wreath in the shape of a koru. And I'm happy to send a photo of that to you, Joe, if that will be helpful in terms of what we did in our local church context.
Thank
The
you.
idea for that wasn't mine. It comes from this book, Foraged Art, which has a beautiful picture of a koru spiral on that. And as I saw that, I began to think about what it might mean to use that in different ways in relation to Advent and the environment.
Lovely, lovely.
So that's the Advent dimension. Then there's the liturgy dimension. There are some song suggestions that are there, including the Pacifica hymn that can be sung each week just to celebrate what God is doing with and among Pacific communities. And then on Christmas Day, there is the Ocean Carol, which is written by Winston Hulapua's spouse, Reverend Susan Hulapua, with a beautiful refrain, God's love is deeper than our ocean deep, which could be used as a poetic reading on Christmas Day, just to help connect our liturgies here in Aotearoa with liturgies from the Pacific. There's a climate collect. A prayer that I've written to try to gather together those four dimensions and to connect it together with the themes of the environment. There are some suggestions for climate prayers for others and climate prayers for the earth. And then each week there's a all-age intergenerational moment. The church that I'm part of, there were kids there on Sunday, but there might not be any kids for the next couple of weeks. And so, as a way of trying to work with that, rather than do an activity that's focused only on children, I try and do an intergenerational activity so that even if no kids are there, then adults can still enjoy thinking in a slightly different way and connecting together in different
Excellent.
ways. And
Great.
so there is an intergenerational activity that builds, that involves 3 weeks. It could be done Advent 1, 2, and 3. Or it could be involved Advent 2, 3, and 4. And that involves building a rain gauge. And that rain gauge connects with the readings and the theme of Advent of watching or of paying attention. And so, as I did with the kids on Sunday, we literally built a rain gauge. And then we talked about how, when you go and look to see whether there's rain or not, we could use that as a way of praying and thinking and paying attention to what God is doing in the world. Week two, we then think about what it might mean to read a rain gauge with weather from and rain from other places. And so the encouragement to Google what is the weather in Tonga for Mrs. Murphy, what is the weather in the Solomon Islands at this very moment? And so to help bring our local rain readings into conversation with what is happening in other places in terms of Oceania. And the Pacific. And then the third week of that is to think about rain gauges in terms of how they are when a cyclone happens. And so during Advent of 2023, there was a cyclone that did start in the Solomon Islands and came down to Australia and dumped 2 meters of rain into an Australian rain gauge. And so there's a wee bit about that. and then an invitation to actually get a 2 meter high bean steak, and to actually think about what type of place we would have to, and what type of resilience we would need if there were 2 meters of rain falling on us. So that's a fun activity. It's an intergenerational activity, but it gets people thinking about those themes of the environment and of Advent in a liturgical way that involves all generations. So those are two dimensions, dimensions of Advent and different parts of the liturgy. Then there's the dimension of environment or climate hope. And a key resource for that is this book about Earth's Child, which is one Dr. Michael Trainer, who's a Catholic priest and a New Testament scholar in South Australia. I used to teach with Michael when this book was released. I went to his book launch and he wrote me a special greeting there on the front. And so I've kept and treasured this. And so when Tim emailed and said, "Hey, we're wondering about Advent and climate change and environmental concerns," I said, "I've got a great resource and I'm really keen to get into it and to use it." And as I did, I was amazed about how, in different ways, the Luke Gospel texts do start to draw out different Advent themes. In Advent 1, there's restless seas and paying attention to seasons and what's happening in terms of changes. In Advent 2, there's the valleys are being made low, and so inviting us to think about earth and dirt and moving and what happens when you move dirt and its impact upon the environment. Advent 3, there's good news in relation to social justice and the whole of our lives, which is there in Advent 3. And then Advent 4 has Mary's action song, which again picks up on our wholeness as a human being. And then the Christmas story has Jesus, who's wrapped in cloth. It's natural cloth, it's swaddling cloth, and laid in a manger. So he's between humans and animals. And so there's some interesting environmental connections that are being made there. So I was surprised, I was challenged by what happens to those gospel readings when this questions about the environment are placed there and the resources that might flow. That's the third dimension around the environment. The fourth dimension is around Oceania. Christian World Service has some values. To quote from some of their publicity, they don't parachute into communities. Instead, they work at grassroots. They work through long-term partnerships, and they trust the wisdom of the local community to know what is needed and how best to do it. And so, therefore, it was important for me that the resources echoed that, that the resources built on established relationships with local communities. And were ways of showing that we can actually listen and learn from what's going on in different Pacific countries. And so as a result, there are four different Pacific countries who are providing input into these Advent resources in various ways. In Advent 1, there's a sermon story which comes from the Solomon Islands. Advent 2 has that climate data gathering from different countries across Oceania, and then also profiles the work of Mrs. Murphy in Tonga and how she is showing us what it means to prepare the way of the Lord by literally moving valleys, shifting gardens, and she becomes an example to us of how to live out that Advent 2 Luke text. In Advent 3, there is the rainfall exercise. And hurricanes and therefore cyclones, thinking about the impact of that. And there's also in Advent 3 some use of some Samoan wisdom, drawing on the work of the Pacific Theology College principal, Apollo Vahi, and his work with wisdom of restraint and what that might mean. And it was wonderful for me to take his thinking to apply it to the lectionary, the Advent readings. To send it to him and to have him email back going, "Oh, that's a great use of that." And so to have that interaction and that blessing from him as a person. And then there's the Ocean Carol that I've mentioned, which comes from Fiji. And so all those are different ways that the resources allow us to learn from and to worship with alongside people that we have partnerships with, rather than tie into former ways of thinking that we have all the answers for the Pacific. Instead, here the resources are allowing us to live and to learn. So that's a brief overview of the resources. Moving quite quickly, trying to pull together those four dimensions of Advent, of liturgy, of the environment, and of Oceania and the partnerships. And I'm going to pause there and to see if people do have specific questions about the resources, things that don't quite make sense in terms of how they might look locally. I'm very open to questions. No pressure, Joe.
Just mentioning it's premature for me, but I'm the administrator at church and passionate about mission. And so I'm just filing this away. We've got multi-ethnic members, Samoan, Tongan, Maori, lots of Kiwi, blah, blah. And so just thinking this is good. So if not now, well, not now, but hopefully sometime. And I'm just getting the thing that it's good.
Good stuff.
That's what we want to hear.
That's very helpful. When we were here on Thursday, one of the people who was there said, "Is it okay if I don't use these for Advent? Is it okay if I tuck them away and use them a bit later on?" And we said, "Absolutely. You could do it next year, or the lectionary texts might not make quite so much sense." Or they said, "Hey, could we do a Bible study in some sort of way during the period? Or could it link with the season of creation in September next year?" And yeah, the materials are deliberately designed to be pick and mix, to take things that you like, to expand some things, to contract some things, and they can certainly be put in a filing cabinet and then brought out later on, Joe. And I do think that doing them in a multicultural context, it will be really interesting to start to see as a resource from one culture gets put forward. So the wisdom from Samoa around restraint with the Samoan word that's used, is there an equivalent word in Solomon's? Is there an equivalent word in Tonga? And I wonder if that would actually start to get some quite rich conversation going with people from different islands.
Yeah, and we're an Anglican church, and so the three tikanga they mention, although it's way more than three, we want to involve that more in reality, not just in token. So, and the idea of perhaps using it for seasons of creation is good.
So some of the connections and relationships that I have drawn on for these resources are Anglican. I did a research project for 3 years for Te Kotahitanga, help as they wanted to think about the future of theological education and ministry training. So the carol, the not the carol, the Pacifica hymn. I first heard that when sitting with the Episcopal unit for the Anglican Church here in Onehunga, St. Peter's Anglican. And then I learned that that was provided by the father of the Archdeacon for Samoa, Chris. I've forgotten his last name in the pressure of the spotlight of this. And so he talked with the Archbishop from Pacifica, and the Archbishop gave permission for that to be used. So that resource is there. The story from Advent 1. It involves how the Anglican Church in Melanesia, in the Solomon Islands, is responding to climate change. They've set aside ministers who not just do daily prayer with the prayer book, but they also do daily prayer by collecting climate weather options and sending that back to the central diocese as a way of information on climate change. So that's an Anglican story, which
Okay,
will suit
excuse
your
me, Steve.
context well. And
Sorry.
it's Bishop Archbishop Winston Halapua and Susan Halapua, both of their resources come from the Anglican context. So,
Okay, thank you. Getting a little bit lost there, but that's good. There's a lot going on at the moment. Question is, I love the sound of that ocean carol or poetic reading, and forgive me for not being familiar with the material. Can I access that like soon, now?
Yes.
Now,
Yeah.
yep.
So if you click on the link, and I'm hoping that Fiona or Dori will put the actual link in the chat.
Oh, be
Yeah, so,
good.
but the Ocean Carol is Christmas. So it's there, and there's permission from Reverend Susan Halapua to use that. And then the link for the Pacifica hymn is also there. And we've got song music for the Pacifica hymn. We don't have song music for the Ocean Carol, mainly because learning something new on Christmas Day is probably not the most sensible thing to do.
But
So,
having it read could be good. So we might be able to include that this time. We'll just see.
definitely. Yeah. And
Steve,
I
which of
imagine,
the two links you'd want?
So one is for Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And the other one is Advent 1, in which
Okay.
the Pacifica hymn is
Okay.
introduced.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
So,
you.
but if you're serious, well, I would encourage potentially contacting the Episcopal unit for the Pacifica Church that's here in Auckland, Reverend Henry Rongo, and they might want to come and actually help you learn the song.
Oh, nice idea.
Yeah, so because there's a beat and a groove to it, and sometimes just helpful to have someone. Yeah, so I first heard it at St. Peter's in Onehunga, and I suspect that they it might take a little while, but I imagine they'd be quite keen to actually come and help a essentially Pālangi church learn a new Pacific song.
Nice. I happen to choose this dress today.
Well done, you.
But just coincidentally. Anyway,
Yeah.
thank
Good job.
you. Thanks.
Very good.
And I see we've got something in the chat there. Thank
Put
you.
the link in the chat to the
Yes.
resource
We do.
on our website.
Yeah, so
Thank
I've put
you.
Advent 1 and Christmas Day linked to both.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Right, you're very welcome.
While Joe frantically tries to click links, Fiona or Malcolm or Dory, have you heard of other churches and how they're starting to use the resources?
Yeah, I was speaking with the Canterbury Methodist Synod on Thursday. Let them all know about this so they know it's happening. They all they have also some of them have accessed the resources. I asked for some feedback from the superintendent for the South Island. And she gave some great feedback saying it would be really helpful to have some of the partner stories available as well. I'd use those in a workshop I had done for the West Coast, Tasman, Marlborough region, and had shared some partner stories. So that was great feedback for us. But she had found the resources really helpful. And I know that the church I'm speaking at on Sunday is also using the resources. So I'm doing the sermon slot, but the additional stuff are around it. So the prayers and some of the additional resources the minister is using to help with the rest of the service running as well. So she was like, yep, I'm picking up this and I'm picking it when I met with her yesterday. So that was really lovely to hear.
So the and then who's how do I pronounce his name? Whakaa whalo.
Like all four.
Thank you. Whakaa whalo. Yes, thank you. You'd remember him. And at his church, oh, a week and a bit ago now, but last this weekend just gone by, his intent was to continue. So very, 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 very happy with the Mrs. Murphy set, focus. And but there was a sense that there was so much in the resources. It was like, what do we pick? Which was great. They were sport for choice. And then there was going to be a great service of five different Pacific Island groups this last weekend Sunday go by, where they would pick on that. Now, I have not heard the detail of how that went, but I know that was the intent, to centralise it around those resources and take some elements out of it and integrate it into the service. So, and I missed a golden opportunity, I have to say. I do apologise. When I was there, I could have done the beginning of a conversation about the rain gauge with the young people. I fell down on my duties, but because that sounds just fantastic, what the result you got in the weekend. So yeah, and then also talking ahead, speaking to, I think it's Brett from Nio
Right.
Church. You'd know him too, because he's come through Knox, I believe. And he knows a few characters in this part of the world. But he said, we are all over the theological as theological components of climate change. So he feels his congregation is well versed, but nevertheless, the resources were being going to be applied in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So I get to hear how it goes this coming Sunday.
And
So
then,
that's a little bit of feedback, but not heaps. But Fiona's probably got heaps more.
oh, just another one. Tim used it at the weekend. He did three services at one church and used a lot of the resources that you had given. So that was really helpful.
Did too.
I don't have all of the details, just that it went down well and it was well received. So.
And I think the general feedback seems to be that people have, we've had a lot of downloads, a lot of folk who have downloaded the resources. So there's m probably more application of it than we're aware of.
Very good. Are there any other questions you have, Joe? We're
No,
past it.
Joe, come on, Joe.
Maybe she's just been called away a moment.
Very good. If there are no other questions, no other discussion, then it would be appropriate to close with prayer.
Yes. I'm happy to leave that if you're okay with that.
I'm very happy with someone other than me leading the prayer. I'm also happy to pray myself, but just also happy to share it.
I'll fire ahead. Let's pray. Father God, we do give you thanks for the way that there's such enthusiasm for these marvelous resources that Steve has put together and provided to us. We thank you, Father, that it's also exciting people to a deeper insight into how we can better support and aid folk in these times where climate is a challenging threat. So, Father, as we take this information and absorb it into our services and into our congregations, may you bless it and amplify it to the building of your kingdom. And we ask it in Jesus' name and always for his glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Will I wrap up, Steve, or did you want to have a final word?
Apart from just wanting to thank Joe for being here and for being willing to ask questions and to think on the spot a bit with us. So just very grateful for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much for preparing it and sharing it.
And thank you
Thanks.
for your enthusiasm, Joe. A couple of times we've just noted your excitement about what you're hearing, It's wonderful to have somebody in a position like yours who can then be, seems very motivated to put it together. And well done, choice on the dress.
Thanks. Yeah, a lot going on. Someone drove into our church building today, so we've got insurance things happening. But
Oh.
I'll look at though that poem and song as soon as I can, and just juggling the slides for the service and stuff. But hey, that's life.
It
Well,
is indeed. Indeed.
Sarah, I'd just like to say a blessing on you and your church as you manage all of those challenges at what is already a busy time. So may you have peace and a straight road in dealing with those things.
Amen. Thank you. Look forward to some more connections in due course.
Very good.
Okay, folks. Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you, everybody else.
Bye.
We'll leave you to return to your day, and may it be a blessed day.
Thank
Take
you
care.
all.
Thank
Thanks.
you, Steve. Thanks,
See
everyone.
ya.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.